Simon Cooper, Paris-based journalist and author of Impossible City, Paris in the 21st Century, will be joining us, along with Seamus Carey, communications expert and a diehard Irish Athletics fan who still is in Paris at the moment as well. So we'll be still soaking in the atmosphere on that. But first, let us reflect on today's homecoming on O'Connell Street in Dublin City Centre. Diane Connor was there for RTE News and got a few tidbits from the fans who were present, and indeed some gold medalists who are also there.
It was just great to see that a small, like, from a small island like Ireland, you can come from there and go to the Olympics, you know, it's incredible.
You run yourself?
Yeah, I run, yeah.
So would you like to be in the Olympics someday?
Yeah, I really would, it's my dream.
We needed a lift, and by God, they did give us a lift.
So I was in Paris for 3 days, and at the swimming events, and I really enjoyed it, so I've got the fever now, the blood.
CEO of the Olympic Federation of Ireland is Sarah Keane. Not only did they bring medals, but they also brought the sunshine. What a special day.
My God, they've been told there's over 20,000 people here, that it's maximum capacity. So I don't think most of them have ever felt this level of almost like being a celebrity. So, no, they're very proud. And they're a special group of people. You know, they feel very strongly about doing well. They're very proud of being Irish and, you know, going abroad and doing the country proud. So it's lovely for them to come home and, you know, to be part of that now at home.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready to meet our athletes? Are you ready to meet Team Ireland? You are representing the people of Ireland here. We are privileged to be here on the stage. You are privileged to be here to meet the athletes on their return from Paris, from the Olympics. So give it a massive cheer for every Irish athlete. Put up those flags and give it everything.
It's just to have the support of this great nation is just fantastic. Like, this is absolutely amazing for absolutely every one of the athletes here on Team Ireland who give their everything day in, day out, to have the support now of this nation for all of us. From the bottom of every one of our hearts, it really does mean the world to us. And that's in whether we win, we lose, we draw, to have yous all there to pick us up, to dust us off and to help us go again, that's what matters. So thank you.
Okay, because just in case you didn't realise, the event that Fintan and Paul are in are gone for LA. What is going to happen, by the way? Have you decided yet?
Might have to give it a go. We'll see how these lads are doing.
Are you coming for these two? Is this what you're saying?
Oh, we might join forces. We'll see.
Are we talking there could be a fours now in LA? Is this what we're saying?
Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just have all this emotion going through yourself during the last 50 metres, and you're like, yeah, I'm never going to lose this. I backed myself day and night, and that was what exactly I did.
You know, I think it was Claire McNamara spoke with your brother before your first final. He suggests he might challenge you soon. Is that true?
Yeah, I'm sure in LA we'll be both on the podium, so I hope everybody looks forward to sharing on the both of us, and we'll be making Ireland proud with hopefully a gold and a silver. Me, I'm the gold one, but he can have the silver, and it'll be a great one, 4 years' time.
When she did do back-to-backs, your reply was, message received.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we all saw Kelly creating history by taking that gold in Tokyo. I was one of the many inspired in this country by her, and I mean, I'm taking this opportunity to be inspired once again. I followed in her footsteps, got that gold medal. Now let's do it again. That's all left to do.
Well, inspiring words from some inspiring individuals. The great Team Ireland there and their homecoming. Some fantastic performances. As I mentioned, Simon Cooper, writer with the Financial Times and author of a brilliant memoir of modern Paris, Impossible City, the book currently out now. And Seamus Carey, an Irish fan and communications expert. Seamus, if I come to you first, because you are still soaking up the atmosphere in Paris. You were present at, which unbelievably, and I'm very jealous, I must say, you were present at 6 of the 7 Irish medal performances, Seamus.
Bonjour de Paris, Shane. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, it's it was, oh God, I can't begin to describe how amazing it was. Yeah, I picked my events well. I looked in advance to see where I thought some medals might go, and managed to make 6 of the 7. The only one I missed was Kelly Harrington, where I knew it was going to be a medal. I knew it was going to be gold, but I was so shattered after 10 days of events. I just couldn't make it out that night. But unbelievable performances. And just to be in an arena where an Irish athlete wins any medal is spectacular, but to be in one when you hear Aron Naveen sung out around the auditorium or the arena or at the rowing outside was just super, super special.
Yeah, no, I can only imagine. It's so emotional as well and very evocative. What was the experience like attending the Olympics overall as a fan, from a fan's point of view?
Yeah, so this was my first Olympic Games. So I've gone to lots of athletics events. I've gone to the European Championships, the World Championships, indoors and outdoors, and cross country. Olympics was one where it sounds weird, but there's a load of fans that I'm quite close with. And we always say the Olympics is too important to go to because you miss stuff. So if you're at one sport, you're missing something else happening. You're missing something else. And so when you're sitting at home, you can click between three TV channels and see everything. And so there was a bit of a trepidation of saying, you know, am I going to miss out on something? Am I going to be stuck in a stadium and missing out on something else happening somewhere else? And there's also trepidation around, well, look, normally we go as a big group and we take over an area and we're all together and we're all cheering and celebrating and you're with all your friends. And this time everyone had individual tickets and you're seated all around the stadiums. So there was a bit of trepidation around, will this be as good as going to Worlds or Europeans? But it was absolutely blown away from day one. So walking into the swimming arena, La Défense, the atmosphere was just unbelievable. The gymnastics arena, the athletics track, just absolutely inspirational. And you're almost tearing up as you walk in because you're thinking, I'm here at an Olympic Games. I'm getting to see Irish athletes win medals. And I think one of my highlights was just being at, I managed to be down by the finish line for the relay, the women's 4x4, and that fantastic fourth place in a national record. Those are just magical moments that I will not forget. Like, it was spectacular. Yeah. And everything worked really well. So I know a lot of people in advance were worried about, you know, public transport and accommodation prices and tickets. The atmosphere was fantastic in the city. What was weird was from day one, there was just very few people around. So I think most Parisians kind of left en masse before everyone else arrived. So one of my first days, I was on a bus somewhere and I was the only person on the bus. I thought, is this the way it's going to be? But everything just worked really well. So the metros were fantastic. The IR trains were great. Everything just worked really well. And accommodation actually got cheaper and cheaper as you got closer to the event. So I know that had put a lot of people off in venturing out in advance, but it actually ended up being quite reasonable. The only negative thing I could say were the ticket prices were quite expensive. And when you're trying to make 6 or 7 of the Irish medals and all of the athletic session, you end up spending quite a bit of money, but I would not have missed it for the world. Yeah,
it can certainly rack up. Simon, if I bring you into conversation just on the broader picture, I suppose, and Seamus mentioned the exodus of locals, really. How will this Olympic Games be viewed from the point of locals, from the Parisians?
I think it was when Parisians fell in love with Paris again, sort of the view of the world of people like yourselves coming here re-enchanted it for many Parisians, because a lot of the time people here just whine, you know, about traffic and rudeness and bad weather and too many people in too small a space. And, you know, me included, and we kind of rushed behind Notre Dame checking our text messages instead of just looking up and thinking there is nowhere else in the world like this. And I think the opening ceremony and the eyes of the world helped everybody realize, you know, my gosh, we live somewhere that's unique.
Will it be viewed as a success then? And this is, again, coming from the eyes of locals, from the views of French people on the ground.
Hugely, overwhelmingly. I've hardly heard a negative voice in France about this the last 2 weeks. And this is a country that's quickest criticised than anywhere else I know. This is a country that is almost always negative and pessimistic. And this isn't just my prejudice. This is what polls show. And people really feel, all the newspaper headlines today were reflecting this, that it's been a massive success, that it was the most beautiful games, just having that backdrop, that, as Seamus said, everything worked very well, that the nightmare of a terrorist attack, you know, which after the terrorist traumas of the city in 2015 hung really heavy over this, it didn't happen. There's enormous relief and happiness, and I think the many people who went away, who you mentioned, a lot of them are just feeling terrible about that, especially if they went too far away to rush back to catch a few days, that they feel they've missed an event that will be in the city's memory for the rest of our lives, and they will never have that.
There were reports before the games that even sections of the same were blocked off, and there was a slight or small unrest in pockets of locals that they weren't able to access and facilities, certain hospitals and everything else, but that seemed to be ironed out over the course of the games. And, you know, judging from yourself, who is the expert on this, to be fair.
It was around the opening ceremony, which of course was on the river. So the neighbourhoods around the river were locked down. It was a bit like during COVID or the Berlin Wall, that to stop anyone who was suspect coming into that zone around the opening ceremony. So if you lived there and you needed to go to the supermarkets or the doctor, or you wanted to have a friend over, that was a huge problem. And so people were complaining about that hugely. That lasted about 3 days. And then sort of the day after the opening ceremony, all those people were released. So yes, they did have a bad experience. If I lived by the river, I probably would have gone away for those days if I could. But after that, everything was totally fine. You could move around the city with very, very little hassle.
Brilliant. It is great to see how well received it was and how successful it was. And Seamus, how successful it was from a Team Ireland point of view. Is this the most excited you've been about Irish athletics and Irish sport? And Sport Ireland, I suppose, give it a broad spectrum, really, because I know you've been following Irish athletes for some time now. But just to see the success that we've had, it's incredible.
Absolutely. Like it's one of those things that... We can't really begin to understand how competitive these sports are and how many countries compete. So I was looking at the athletics entry list. Over 200 nations had athletes competing in athletics. 37 countries went on to win a medal. Unfortunately, Ireland just missed out with 2 fourth places in athletics, with Rashida in the 400 individual and the women's 4x400 team. But it is the most globally competitive sport, and it's so hard to win medals at an Olympic level. And I think that's why we've seen such a response. I'm only seeing it online, but the response to the women's 4x4 team just missing out and to Rashida just missing out, the response online is just fantastic. And I'm getting that sense that people at home have become super enamored with them. Mm-hmm. And I think I was kind of disappointed that there was some coverage on RTE today. And Nick O'Hare, who'd be a former international swimmer, was kind of pitting sports against each other and saying, you know, a lot of money is invested in Irish athletics, and it looks like there's little return for it. And I think that's such a negative opinion and such a difficult thing to be saying at a time when we should be so proud of all of our sports people, whatever sport they're competing in, for giving their best, for reaching Olympic Games, for reaching semifinals and finals and winning medals. And I think saying no return for that investment is look at the hundreds and thousands of children that will be inspired by the performances, particularly of that women's 4x4 team. I think it's something that we should all be celebrating and be proud of. And this is really just the beginning for a lot of those athletes.
Yeah, I think it's important just to note that Nick O'Hare isn't here to respond to that. I know he was on television earlier on the short snippet, but it is key, I suppose, for funding for all sports in Ireland across the board, athletics, swimming, even sports that weren't in the Olympics as well. I know the FEI have asked for a lot of money and everything that is going to improve sport for new generations, young boys, young girls to compete.
Absolutely.
Because boxing clubs, athletics clubs, I know Alan Colley is here rushing off to his son training later on as well. That is what we want to see, young boys and young girls packing out these sports clubs across the country, Seamus.
Absolutely. And sports joining up and combining and utilising facilities that they can share together. I think that's a great idea. But I think it's something where we should be celebrating all of these, because the context in each sport is so different. There's so many factors involved in winning medals at whatever level, and that context can't be forgotten in those debates around where where funding should go. Yeah, absolutely.
Simon, just as Seamus mentioned, just the inspiring new generations, what will the legacy of Paris 2024 be?
Very little. I mean, these things fade like a dream and they leave memories, and these memories last all our lives. So, you know, my grandmother to her death had very strong memories of the London Olympics 1948, and I suspect many young people watching these games will have that. But thankfully, Paris didn't try to build a legacy through the built environment. So 95% of the venues were already there or were repurposed, like the field in front of the Eiffel Tower. So they wasted very little money. It hasn't changed the city. The big thing that Paris is doing is building 68 metro stations in the suburbs, which I think would be a great idea for Dublin as well. And that had nothing to do with the Olympics. They started doing that long before they were given the Olympics.
Okay, well, I think let's get transport from the airport boxed off before we start going out to the suburbs. From the Team France point of view, obviously Leon Marchand was on a lot of topical conversations across the Olympics and his breathtaking performance as well. But 64 medals, 16 golds, it was incredible from the host nation, Simon.
Yeah, so he's become the big hero, and he extinguished the torch at the Vasque, they call it, this kind of massive balloon that hangs over Paris last night. And he's the boy next door, and he's hugely popular. It must also be said that the French public, on average in general, prefers its white heroes to its non-white sporting heroes, and so Léon Marchand is white. However, Teddy Riner is a great French judoka who is black, is also hugely popular. So I've been very encouraged by the fact where this very, very divided nation, where the huge far-right party has managed to get behind all the athletes. All the athletes have also just been sort of like an island, very positive, very lovable. And the French have totally fallen for their teams. I mean, the women's basketball lost to the US by 1 point when a 10-3 pointer became a 2 pointer in the final seconds. And just the whole nation mourns with them. I mean, in fact, losing together can be just as powerful emotion as winning together. So the French are delighted, ecstatic with what their athletes have done.
Would it be a stretch to say that the Olympics can be a unifying factor for Paris in terms of legacy in that regard?
I wish. I just feel that these things dissipate. I mean, London 2012 was a brilliant experience for Britain, and it dissipated almost immediately, and the country went through some very rough years.
Yeah, no, that is, I suppose, a reality of it. Seamus, what was your personal highlight from being there? I'm assuming it is going to be from a Team Ireland point of view.
It will be from a Team Ireland. I was just going to say, just to your last question there, to Simon, one of the things I noticed over the course of the 2 weeks was a little bit of kind of, not a lack of passion, but a quiet French crowd at the start, not really embracing it. But as it went on and on and on, and they saw success and they saw how happy every other person was to be there, they really embraced it. And I saw that they became prouder of the nation as it went on. So even just like restaurant staff and coffee staff and staff in the arenas were just super proud, I think, of hosting it, and it was just lovely to see that they're delighted in seeing everyone else enjoying themselves. That was pretty special.
Yeah.
From a special moment, I guess the one that jumps out at me, and I think it's because of the tension involved, is I was sitting with Reese McClellan's agent, Shane Galvin, for Reese's final, and it's one of those sports where you don't really know what's going to happen, and anything can happen. You move a finger and you fall off the pommel horse. And so the tension was palpable for Reese's routine. And when the first gymnast, I can't remember what country they were from, had gone out and performed 15.433, which is higher than Reese had ever performed in a champs before. And we thought, okay, this is an athlete we weren't expecting to perform this well, and this is the first gymnast up. Oh God, what does this mean? And then for Reese to just perform absolutely flawlessly, and to see his elation with just, it doesn't really matter at this point whether I win a medal or not. I've performed my routine to the best of my ability, and then to be rewarded with such a high score and that gold medal was just spectacular. It was, like one of those goosebump moments that you'll just always remember.
Yeah, utterly incredible. Simon, just to pick up on Seamus's first point there, was it a case of the French public growing into the tournament?
I think that's quite right. And I think you just had to see the negativity about 2 hours before the Olympics to believe it. And then also when there was this biblical rainstorm only over Paris, only for the 3 hours of the opening ceremony, that seemed like the worst possible omen. And so, yeah, I mean, beforehand, everybody was sure that there would be a terrorist attack, that having the ceremony on the river was tempting fate, that, you know, the city would be overrun, it would be impossible to move around. And so it did take a few days for people to realise, you know, my gosh, this is working out.
Mm. What was your Olympic highlight, Simon?
You know, I grew up in Holland, so I think it was going to the Holland-Belgium women's hockey match, which Holland thankfully won, and see the crowd chanting sort of together, Holland and then België. So the Dutch fans would chant and the Belgian fans would respond, and it was like a sing-along with both groups of fans. I thought that was lovely.
That is magic. That is magic. Seamus, final question to you. I suppose somewhat steering away from the Olympics as well, because it's important that people... And listen, I was kind of saying this to Alan off air as well, that it is brilliant, and I know some people have called it sports tapas, you're dipping in and out of sports, but that is brilliant as well, and you're learning a lot about sports. But it's important, if you fancy a couple of sports at the Olympics, stick with it, continue to support these athletes.
Absolutely. Like, I think one of these things is, in a lot of these sports, and this I think is why there's often controversy about some sports in the Olympics, so sports like tennis or golf, where you go, well, this isn't really your major, you have other events that are more important to you than the Olympics. For some athletes, for gymnastics, for rowing, for swimming, for athletics, for amateur boxing, this is the pinnacle of the sport, and it's just a shame. Like, in one way, it's a shame it only comes around every 4 years. In another way, it makes sense because that gives it the prestige. But I would like to, I guess, for fans, it's to know that these athletes are performing throughout these 4 years. It's not just the Olympics, and they should and deserve to get that support throughout the 4 years. And I think they've been so enamored with, I think I saw something like online, I saw that there was 20,000 people training out today at the homecoming. That's phenomenal. And if we can turn that into active support for these athletes, that'd be amazing. And one thing that we're doing in athletics, so I'm in the process of setting up a official supporters club with Athletics Ireland, and that's to give people a chance to get tickets for events and to go to events and meet some of the athletes, to get discounts on various merchandise and so forth. So if anyone wants to join, we're just in the process of setting it up. The website address is iasclub.ie. That's Irish Athletics Supporters Club, so iasclub.ie. And if you want to continue to support these athletes, particularly in athletics, that's the way to do it.
Great stuff. So many Olympic highlights for now. Seamus Carey, thank you so much. Simon Cooper, Paris-based journalist with the Financial Times, and of course, author of Impossible City Paris in the 21st Century. Thank you both for taking the call and joining us.